Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Because me and Tim, we've been doing the show in the Osama bin Laden studio, which is now Gray Area Talk Studio. It looks a little bit better, but that's us, you know, with our great team, Wes and Damon, controlling things in a virtual room. We just don't have the same resources we have here, and it's so amazing to be able to do a fully produced show. And we thank the crew and everybody listening. Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins, let's do a deep dive.
Yeah, so, you know, we were just covering, you know, the origins of what's happened and the resource extraction, but the thing that we got to look at is the global markets and the exporting that's happening. So
sure.
More often than not, you're probably using a device or something, or if you bought like a necklace, there's a strong possibility that it's come from this region as well.
I mean, think about the electric cars. I mean, how many of those do we see driving around? That's tons of everything.
Tons of everything. And again, when you're so far and you don't see how the supply chain works, you don't really think about it. It just comes as a finished good there. You don't realize that it's like, you know, built off the backs of like dead bodies.
Yeah,
and
slaves, literally,
yeah,
and slaves. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this isn't to like shame anybody. I mean, you're not in control.
We're all complicit
in the system, right? So, you know, Uganda's gold exports, they went from about $500,000 in 2014 to about $2.3 billion in 2023.
Oh!
And Uganda didn't just suddenly discover gold. What happened was the Congo's conflict ended up starting this smuggling system that created the refined and the gold. I mean, it got smuggled in, it got refined, and then it was sold as legitimate. And so that's what you're seeing on this picture here. Is once the gold leaves the mine, it passes through dozens of roadblocks and checks. Then it gets smuggled into Uganda or Rwanda. Then it gets refined, and then it gets shipped to Dubai. And then it's mixed in with clean gold and becomes untraceable. And you just see, like, I mean, how could you know a supply chain and where the origins of these things come from? And so you see that line down there. But then also you had a lot of outside companies, a lot of Western companies and people going into Uganda and setting up shop in a safer region, but taking their resources from the disturbed one. And so you've got gold. It's not just gold, right? You've got tungsten, tantalum, cobalt. All of it flows through the same dirty pipeline. And so this pipeline connects Congo directly to jewelry, electronics, EV batteries, military tech, global finance. And so this conflict just keeps paying for itself. And it almost is like you almost don't want to fix it, right? Because it's cheaper to not have it fixed. You know, if you have legitimate systems in place and you have real companies that are extracting it properly, and you have to pay people a reasonable wage to do that, then the cost of everything goes up from there.
Right. And you could say, well, maybe it leads to a new age of peace and prosperity. They're not interested in the new age of peace and prosperity. They're happy with the old age.
Especially whoever is benefiting for right now. And so let's pull up number five here, because we got to go back why the U.S. is stepping in. This was something that happened a little while back, but this is Trump brokering a peace deal. Let's go ahead and pull up number five here. I should have had you guys print this.
No, it's all good. And just keep in mind, this is one of the I stopped seven wars.
Yeah, can you just zoom in on that first part up top? The proposed DRC economic military plan.
One,
yeah.
U.S. access to strategic minerals a little bit out. I got it. Okay, granting U.S. companies extraction and export rights to secure a stable direct supply chain for defense and technology sectors. Two, banana deepwater port development. The DRC proposes granting operational control to U.S. firms, ensuring American and oversight of a key African mineral export hub. Three, establishment of a joint strategic mineral stockpile. The DRC is prepared to work with the U.S. to develop a strategic stockpile of Congolese minerals, enhancing U.S. economic and security resilience. Got to get the components to put in the missile somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's always what it's about. Number four, strengthening military cooperation. Ooh, just like we train all the other groups, training and equipping the Congolese armed forces to protect mineral supply routes from foreign-backed militant groups, granting the U.S. access military bases in key zones. Oh, we got to build bases. And replacing ineffective peacekeeping from the U.N. with direct, U.S., probably mercenaries as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, You know, you can look at it however you want. I mean, Trump, you know, this is a win for him in terms of the aspects that he got a pretty good deal out of this for the United States. Now, is it ethical? That's another question, right? But I mean, this should have been one of those things that should have been addressed a while back. But the only thing is it like, do we trust, you know, whoever these corporations that are going in and extracting the resources to do it in a way that actually benefits the region itself?
No.
That's the real equation here.
It's all nice that I guess we can make money off of it, but it's still going to be the same evil people. We're probably just going to train them, make them better at doing their job.
Yeah. I mean, the U.S. is not stepping in out of charity. It's stepping in because the Congo means securing minerals for countering China.
Hey, we're gonna make a deal with each other. We're gonna have a good time. You know, you're gonna let me run your country. You're gonna let me put military bases in there. We're gonna trade a lot of this gold together.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, I was just thinking about it. It's like it is this competition. And so I think they're willing to do this because China has its own, like, I would say it's borderline slavery what happens over there, too. There's a whole population that's suppressed and that is also working insane hours. There are people that live in the factories that don't get to go home for months.
The suicide nets
sitting outside. Yeah. So it's like, you know, they're able to compete on this market because they're not having to be ethical about their decisions on what they make. And so the United States and these other countries are like, well, we can't do that in our own country. We got to find another way to compete here.
Mm.
So, yeah, this is the end of my deep dive. It's just, again, I wanted to kind of step away from what's happening in the mainstream and what we've seen in Iran and Israel and in the past of U.S. because I've covered a lot of that stuff. This one was just kind of like season it with something different because these are things that are happening in real time as we speak.
Sure. And we want you guys to just be more aware in general of the planet and the things going on in these various regions that aren't often discussed. And that's what's so amazing about the deep dive is we're not forced to be local to like, oh, what happened today? We can go back, look what happened 10, 20, 30, 100 years ago, sometimes even longer than that. And we've got so many phenomenal deep dives done already. If you go to Gray Area Talks on YouTube, you can watch dozens and dozens and dozens at this point of Tim's phenomenal deep dives, my commentary as well, my info as well.
We're also on Rumble. You can watch the full videos there.
Every
Sunday I'm doing a deep dive. And of course, we can't cover every single deep dive on this show. And I also do a newsletter where I'm doing deep dives out of that. And I'm creating these articles based off of like condensed down information for you to learn about. And if you click on the link when you go to Gray Area Talks, you can find all of that.
Yeah, it's all there. We're super proud to be able to offer this information. And this is the thing about like our show, why I think it's unique, why I think it works. I want to monologue. I want to do news blitz, but I also want the chance to be able to in real time learn something new and then analyze the information, have a conversation with you about it. And I know you're really researched on whatever you've gone down the line on.
I like to like, I'm like almost like granular. I like to just go in and focus on like these core things. And then that's why I like you come in with like all the different flavors and the seasoning of what's happening.
It's microscope perfect. And then 30,000 foot view where you get the full perspective. You can also see the forest for the trees, but also touch the tree and know what it is. And then we love doing that. We think it's a really unique show. Just want to remind you guys, coming up in the next hour, we have Amy Dangerfield joining us. You're not going to want to miss that. I want to go ahead and show this. Were you able to find it on my Twitter, the Lebanon stuff? Were you able to? All right. I want to go ahead and show what's going on right now. Lebanon's getting destroyed, man. And keep in mind, in the peace plan, the peace proposal, I don't know where it is right now. The end of Israeli military operations in Lebanon, that's point three. Breaking, the Lebanese Red Cross reports more than 300 killed or injured in the latest wave of Lebanon strikes. Can we go to that video there in the top left when we get a chance? It's really apocalyptic. And we talk about the African Mayans and stuff and people going through things we can't even imagine. I mean, imagine living here. Imagine dealing with this. Mm. It truly is brutal. There may be one more thing that I've retweeted. The thing I retweeted was like, ooh, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. If this doesn't stop, the war is going to continue.
Well, now, and that's what we were talking about earlier at the beginning. I'm like, how does this conflict stop in 2 weeks when you have Israel and the United States that are basically in bed together and we don't have full control over what Israel's doing?
Sure, and that's the problem. If you're going to make the argument this is our strongest ally, well, the strongest ally needs to listen to us and needs to abide by the ceasefire. Let's go ahead and go to the neocon ghoul roundup, because while we were doing the deep dive, they came in and just threw us a stack of just these neocon ghouls reacting to the peace plan.
Let's go to Lindsey Graham, right?
Yeah, let's go to Lady G first. We were talking, oh, I'm at the Magic Kingdom, y'all. Okay.
I wrote this really long tweet for you. Yeah. I like it long.
We like long ones. Again, a diplomatic solution to end the reign of terror in Iran is the preferred outcome. The supposed negotiating document, in my view, has some troubling aspects, but time will tell. I look forward to the architects of this proposal, some strong young boys. But time will tell. I look forward, blah, blah, blah. The vice president and others coming through to Congress explaining how a negotiated deal meets our national security objectives. As President Donald Trump said this morning, all the highly enriched uranium must be removed from Iran and handed over to the United States, the Libyan model. Okay, this ain't happening. That's we read the Iranian statement. Yeah, anywhere in there to talk about giving up the enriched uranium?
Yeah, they're worlds apart on the deals that they want.
So here's the thing. We have Trump, and it looks like he's looking to make a deal here. And then you got the people that are around him, like Lindsey Graham, like Mark Levin. They're pushing. They're like, it's not enough. It's not enough. We must have more, more, more death now, now, now. Never take no for an answer. Like, they still want the regime change, even though they won't admit it.
They do.
Allowing this regime to enrich in the future would be an affront to all those murdered by the regime since this war started. It would be inconsistent with denying Iran a pathway towards a bomb in the future. That's why I strongly support President Trump's statement today, no enrichment for Iran. When did he say no enrichment for Iran? I pay attention to the news. I've been following the news intently. I have not seen Trump say no enrichment.
I think I saw that on his original 15-point. No, actually, they said you can use it for civilian purposes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And keep in mind, because things get memory hold. I remember, okay, around the time of the 12-day war, may have been before, may have been after, Witkoff going, okay, well, they only want to enrich up to 3.5%. We can agree to that. And then he comes out a day later and goes, no enrichment on Fox News. Just like stares, no enrichment. Like Bongino, there, I've seen the file. He killed himself.
Okay, so this is an article.
Okay, here. Trump, there will be no enrichment of uranium in Iran. President Trump said Wednesday that Iran will not enrich uranium and the U.S. will work with the country to dig up the B-2 bombers. What? I guess to get the bodies or something? I don't know. As latest agreement reached between two countries, the United States will work closely with Iran, which we have determined has gone through what will be a very productive regime change. This is taunting the bull here. There will be no enrichment of uranium. The United States will be working with Iran, dig up and remove all the deeply buried B-2 bombers, nuclear dust. It is now and has always been under very exacting satellite surveillance. Nothing has been touched since the date of the attack. We are and will be taking tariff and sanctions relief with Iran. Many of the 15 points have already been agreed to.
I can't understand this thing.
It's so creepy.
I'm just saying, like, there's so much information war. Like, you know, Iran saying, oh, we got our agreement on the 10 point. And if this is from today that he's saying, well, they're agreeing to our 15.
Apparently so.
Make it make sense.
So yeah, that's a key analysis that you do there, Tim, about Trump. He's reflecting on the 15-point plan, not even on the 10-point plan.
Right.
And he's like, okay, well, some of the things in the 10-point plan are also in the 15-point plan. So they've agreed to some of those. So that's good. Hey, at least they're having a negotiation.
And then you got like Lindsey Graham that comes in.
You know, I went to Disney Rex and they told me if I clap my feet 3 times, I just get more war.
That's right. He clicks his heels and then a nuke goes off. That's so sick. Last thing he says, the last thing I'm interested in is for Iran to be able to save face. I'm interested in a deal that will stop their maniacal drive to a nuclear weapon, among other things. What is the other thing? Regime change. And we all know that. Now we'll go to Laura Loomer.
Ooh, your favorite.
Because you guys just handed us a whole stack of this, so we got to read it.
Laura Loomer, she is a boomer. She's just she's critical. She's flip-floppy. She's just wishy-washy, man.
I think she's real idealistic. I think she works for another country.
And then I see her attacking your dad like every day. Like, she's just got a hard-on for him. I'm like, geez.
I'm going to go ahead and read it. The reality is, this is from Laura Loomer, the reality is these negotiations are awful for America and they only embolden the terrorist regime in Iran. How is it awful for America that Americans stop dying and that our money stops being spent on a conflict we're already losing? Mm. Luckily, President Trump wasn't in charge of negotiations. What? What?
Trump would never say that.
Oh, okay. So she's removing the credit from Trump for doing the good thing. This is how they like beat Trump. They're like, bad, down dog. Like that's how they treat him. That's what we need. What we all need to remember when the ceasefire that isn't a ceasefire fails. Ooh, okay. So she's predicting that it's going to fail. And Americans are attacked and killed by Iranian proxies of the IRGC. Oh, what's that mean? False flag attacks coming?
Could be.
I mean, wow. Trump understands the real danger and threat posed by the Iranian regime, which is why the people around him, I'm sure we can all figure out who planned the New York Times story, stabbed him in the back yesterday by leaking private Situation Room conversations to New York Times to pretend like they were against the war. Many of these people were on the record supporting the war themselves. She's right. She's 100% correct. She's like, hell yeah, I'm a warmonger. Y'all are being a coward.
At least she stands.
Dude, Laura Loomer wants. W. Like this is the truth, though. Iran will continue being a threat to the U.S. and Western civilization. That means Israel until the regime is wiped out. I guess that's also true. If you mean Israel, people who think that you can negotiate with the regime don't understand how brutal their Islamic ideology is. President Trump will be proven right in the end. Those who negotiated with the Islamic terrorists were made to look like fools. We're already losing the midterms due to GOP incompetence and representatives who refuse to codify Trump's agenda, blah, blah, blah.
So the part that I want to just quickly address here, she says, people don't understand how brutal their Islamic ideology is. There is some truth to that. Okay. There is some truth to that. Every country has its dark sides. You know, just because it's the underdog that's getting beat up and you've got like Israel and the United States coming in and making these haymakers and they're, you know, now the underdog does not mean that Iran doesn't have its own issues in which it treats its people poorly.
Here's how I look at it. Like you say, everybody's got their issues. They're not hypocrites. We're hypocrites, man.
In what capacity are you talking about?
Well, they're like, well, we're a theocratic regime. We have the supreme leader. Like, God tells us to do these things. God tells us to, like, be martyrs, to fight for the cause or whatever. And in America, we're like, oh, we're liberal, happy time, friends. We want international world order. We want peace around the world. We're like,
I see what you're
murder,
saying.
Kill them all, take the oil, glass them.
You're like, they're ideologically consistent. Like, they're like, at least we know we're treating our people this way. We know we're doing these things. We're not ashamed.
They're not a mystery box. The idea that they're a mystery box is ridiculous. Like, the U.S. is really the mystery box. You know, we really don't know what we're going to do.
Okay, I'll give you that.
We can predict them. That's the claim that I'm making here. And if you can predict somebody, then you probably can reason with them. You can have negotiation, which is why, like, here's the thing. I've been very, very black-pilled on Trump. I'm white-pilled on this. I think there is a strong chance that this goes through and that we actually see an end to hostilities, but we're worried about the various factors. I mean, these people are super upset. Like, these neocons they're super mad right now.
No more military money for me.
That's right. That's right. I'm gonna read the next Laura Loomer tweet. The official Iranian foreign ministry accounts are posting images of President Trump bowing down to Iran. Take a look at the post by the Iranian embassy in India. Muslims never negotiate in good faith. That's taqiya, which is the Islamic practice of being able to lie to further the religious interest. They are stalling while their propaganda arm in the U.S. media, which includes woke right broadcasters and elected Democrats, turn on President Trump and move to impeach him and call for him to be removed by the 25th Amendment. The Islamic Republic of Iran, if allowed to collect a toll through the Strait of Hormuz, will bide their time through the remainder of the Trump administration and pad their bank accounts to fund Iran's terrorism for decades to come. Then, the second Trump is gone, they will build a nuclear weapon and attack the U.S. and Israel. Negotiating with terrorists only makes them stronger. Sadly, I think the U.S. is going to learn.
You know who she's talking about when she talks. She's calling here.
Lay it on me.
She's saying she had woke right podcasters, elected Democrats. So that 25th Amendment. Now I watched.
Oh,
the video.
Talking about us.
She's definitely talking about your dad yesterday on the show. He went on. I forget the guest.
He was talking to Robert Barnes.
Okay, yeah. And so they went on, and he was talking about like what are the chances that they could like the 25th Amendment. You can probably clarify better than I can.
Well, so 25th Amendment means that the cabinet realizes that like president's lost his mind. They get him out of there. It's actually a lot harder to get than impeachment, as Barnes kind of detailed. But now that Trump has talked about the 2-week ceasefire, I mean, literally just that he can say something and then everything else, like the weeks and the months of just crazy genocidal language and attacks everywhere and starting the wars he said he'd never start. All that just goes out of the window. And now everyone's like, you said Trump should be 25th. He's being insane. He's,
how dare you? Dude, not my president, Trump.
Dude, it's
what happened to the old Alex? That's not the Alex I remembered. Supposed to be a neocon.
He's supposed to support war. And it's just like, no, we've never supported the war here. We've never changed. We've always been 1776. We've always been America first. Well, whatever MAGA means, like, we're just not that. We're not making Israel great again. Over here.
And then you just look, Laura Loomer, you even got like the quartering coming in trying to throw his haymakers from the top.
But it's
rope.
All jokes. It's all jokes. No. No, it's all everything he says is humor. So none of it's to be taken seriously.
No, I honestly realized that we got very gaslit that night when we debated.
Dude, it was crazy, man. Yeah. And the thing is like he takes that away as some sort of win when like we're just telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and like he's like, oh, I was able to lie convincingly. And it's like, well, not really, bro.
Just to give you guys background, because maybe not everybody was watching our show. Sometime last week, we did a debate between Rex and the quartering. I kind of sat there and moderated it. And Rex was
the debate that wasn't the debate because he doesn't believe in anything.
Right. And Rex was just trying to get him to stand on business because he said some wild outlandish thing.
Glass Iran, bury them, take the oil and move on.
Right. So then when Rex confronts him on these issues, he's like, I was just joking, man. I don't really believe these things. But then now I see him coming out with posts and like he's being serious.
He's on Twitter every 30 minutes, yeah, like gloating about, quote unquote, being right about the war. Why? I thought that you didn't support it.
Yep.
You know, why are you acting like you now support the limited military action?
Yeah. So look, he is trying to do political commentary. Dude,
this is serious political commentary. I'm going to read it. Boats are passing through the Strait of Hormuz right now. Feel free to find the mini clips showing it. Lebanon was not a part of the ceasefire. Trump capitulated nothing. We've read the agreement. Okay, it's point number 3 in the 10-point peace plan that Trump says that they're working off that framework. This is political commentary, sir.
It is.
You don't so you coming on the show and saying everything you've ever said on Twitter is a joke, you're too afraid to debate one position with me. Not one position. He said he had no positions, that everything he's ever done.
It was just
joke.
An easy cop out.
But that's,
there's a lot of people that are doing but that. He, yeah,
and that's the point I want to make. He's not even that important. It's just an example of what we struggle against. And you have Laura Loomer here talking about the negotiations, and there are points in here that I agree with. Like, she's right. The neocons that support the war are now lying about supporting the war. Now, someone like Laura Loomer, you could actually have a debate with because she would actually stand on business and represent her position. Even if it's evil, even if it's crazy.
She well, let me would. Finish. Yeah, go ahead.
Even if it's evil, even if it's crazy, what's worse than that to me are these chicken crap cowards that act like they're, I don't do it. I'm just a blob. You can't touch me. I'm a cloud. And they have these hardcore political takes. What are your thoughts?
Agree with you on that. But with Laura Loomer, she's lost all credibility in my eyes.
Okay.
Because I see her doing the wishy-washy stuff. She went to India like this last month.
Ooh, okay.
And she's out there like taking pictures in front of the Taj Mahal. I love the Indian people. Guys, can we pull up there should be a picture on X with like a montage of all the nasty stuff that she said about Indians and how they like need to go. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're good. Go ahead.
If we can find it. And I'm just saying, she's like, I love India. This is the greatest trip I had. The Indian people are so amazing. And literally like 6 months before, she's just completely ragging on it. So when I see that wishy-washy stuff, I'm like, you don't really stand a lot. You're just going where the wind blows or where the business opportunity is or what makes sense for you signaling.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And we see a lot of that. And she's like, she's just like going after Indian people as hard as you can go on Twitter. She's going after them. She's over there. I love you. It's so wonderful. See? The elephant. Oh, I so love magical. You. And it.
She wrote, I love you. Wow. Look at that.
She drew a demonic Talmudic sigil on the elephant. To turn into a beast of war.
So my whole thing is like, if you're going to hate Indians, you're going to hate something, you know, like own it, right? Sure. Don't try to sit there and be wishy-washy at the end and try to make it seem like you're such a peaceful person. So I throw her in the same boat as the quartering, believe it or not. I think she's going to stand on like business, but that standing is on like sand.
So. Yeah, no, sure. I mean, it's all just it constantly fluctuates, and we're going to be ideologically consistent. That's one of the many missions of this program. I want to remind you guys right now, methylene blue tincture sale. Get it for under $17 every month. Just subscribe and save. You don't have to think about it. A lot of people, they get the product. They love it. They don't reorder. Go ahead and reorder. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. We've also got the InfoWars cooler, limited edition. Get that for $99.99. Get that for $79.99. If you are a VIP member, we love the VIP program. We will be right back here with Amy Dangerfield in the third hour. We love it. Stay tuned. Infowars.com, The American Journal.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.